2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to say we're thankful once again that the pastor has allowed us to be here. We are praying for him and the family. Thankful for those who are here. Continue to remember those who aren't. I'd ask you to remember little Nora. She was dealing with bronchiolitis, and they took her to the med check today because she was running 103, 102, 103, 101. I mean, it was all over the place. And the doctor just simply said she's teething, which is amazing because I didn't know that your temperature could get that high with teething, but apparently she's got four teeth coming through and she's in pain. I'm thankful I don't remember that. Amen. They're not falling out yet, but I'm thankful that they don't have to come back in. So all those who would, please stand with us for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. Refresh yourselves but for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to start here in the first verse and read to the 19th verse. So once we get to our spot, we'll pray and we'll get into the message. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to be faithful men, whom shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to jump over to the 19th verse real quick. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." I want to say that one more time. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Praise God for that. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your mercy. Heavenly Father, I'd ask that you would use me, Lord God, please. That, Lord, I would be removed of self, and that, Lord, you would take hold. God, I thank you for the families that are here. I thank you for the beautiful songs that were sung. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies. Each thing I can thank you for, Lord God, because I feel them, because you have given that ability, Lord, that we can know it's true and it's real and you're real, Lord God. Lord, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. But Lord God, as we are here, allow us not to fail to give you honor and glory and praise you, not just in a closed setting, but openly. And that, Lord, that the world would see, Lord God, that you're on the throne and that you're the one with all the power, Lord. Father, I thank you for all that you've done in your Son's sweet and heavenly name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, I want to preach on this thought. Some sureties from serving the Savior. Some sureties from serving the Savior. Now, I read the first few verses. These are very dear verses to me. We know that, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." I'm thankful that somebody witnessed to me, amen. I'm thankful that someone told me about Jesus. I'm thankful that someone told me that, hey, I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't know that I was headed to hell, Brother Derek, but I was. I was headed to hell. I was lost and undone. But I'm glad to know that God, in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite power, He sent someone my way to tell me about Him and His Son. I'm thankful to also know this, is that it's real and that it's sure. Now, I, in the 19th verse, mention this real quick. "Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure." I'm not a mason. I'm not a concrete layer. I don't lay brick or anything like that. But I do know what that word sure means. It means to be steadfast. It means to be hardened. It means to be immovable. Hey, I'm thankful to know that the foundation that He set up for me, it's sure. It's real. It can't be broken down. Amen. Yeah, I want to preach, like I said, just a few things on some sureties from serving the Savior. Now, he gave us quite a few things to remember. He gave us quite a few things to lean on and to be strengthened from. But I'm not going to be able to preach all that. So I want to just perhaps study or delve into a few things that God has given me that perhaps stick out at this moment. We've already heard this, that yes, the world is out to get us. They don't want us here anymore. And guess what? To be honest with you, I don't want to be here anymore, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I know we have a position, we have a duty as Christians, as soldiers of the Lord. I mean, it says here, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes, I served in the military, but I'm also thankful to tell you this, that I serve in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got the best retirement plan there is. And I don't just have to stop at 20 years. It's eternal, amen. But what I'm trying to get at is this, is that there are some things that God has given us to lean on and to be strengthened from. First of all, can I tell you this, is that we have sure promises. We have sure promises. 1 Kings 8 and 56 says this, blessed be the Lord. Amen. I want to stop there. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Now, we know that, hey, we've been grafted into the family of God. Amen. We have been brought from being dogs. We have been brought from among them. We have been grafted in. Hey, we are no longer aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. We have the blessed promises that God has given. Amen. If you're here and saved, you should say amen on that. Because every promise he has made, he has fulfilled. And I believe that that one promise that I'm waiting on is coming any day. I'm looking and I'm listening. Amen. But we also see here in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9, the Lord, we know where I'm going, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to usward, his longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that I'm thankful for that promise, that when I repented, I received his promise. You say, what promise was that? Promise of security. Promise of love. Promise of a never-failing Savior. A promise that he would go with me all the way, even until the end of the world. That's a verse that we use quite often. But if you really think about it, that means that, hey, he doesn't leave us when we want him to, when we try to steal away for a moment. He's with us then, and I don't want him to leave us. I'm thankful that he keeps me in check. I'm thankful for the conviction. I'm using that word a lot this evening, thankful. We got a lot to be thankful for. I was driving yesterday, and we had went to Kentucky for a trip and came back, and I was thinking on a few things, and I began to you ever think about things you've done in the past, and you think to yourself, if I could just go back, I'd do it all over again. And I realized something. I'm so thankful he didn't let me go back and do it all over again. And by that means I would have had to restart my time with him. Now, I don't want to waste a moment with him. I wouldn't give up a moment with him for anything in the world. I mean, he already knows what I did before. Think about that. He already knows what I'm going to do. But he's still caring for me. He's still keeping me. But not only do we see the sure promises, but we also, as I've said here, we see the sure foundation. In Isaiah 28 and 16, it says this, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. 1 Corinthians 3:11-13 says this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. Now, I don't count anything on the foundations that I've laid. Meaning this is that if I go back and I start where I wanted to start my life, we know where that would have been leading us. But what a blessing it is that that foundation that we are built upon, the foundation that we walk upon, it's sure. It's never failing. It's everlasting. You can't go in and break it with a hammer. You can't go in and chisel it away. I mean, it's a perfect set foundation. And that's what we build our faith upon. That's what we build our families upon. That's what this church is set upon, is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's unfortunate how many people have been trying to change that foundation, trying to pervert the foundation, saying that God has changed and that God is allowing this type of different types of abomination and sin, and that, hey, God is okay with it if you show yourself a good person. But my foundation, if it's a true foundation, you can't alter it. Because if you alter that foundation, you got to start building up things around it. Then you got to start reinforcing it. And then maybe you got to start taking things away from it. And hey, here's the thing. If you add or take anything from the Word of God, a curse would be upon you. My God does not change. For I am the Lord, and I change not. We deal with weakness, but our foundation is not weak. We have doubt, but I have no doubt in my foundation. I don't have doubt in the promises that He's given us. I'll move on. We see not only the sure promises, the sure foundation, but I love this. We have a sure love. Now, I'm talking real love. Brother, I'm talking that love that doesn't go away. I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about what everybody, I mean, you hear it every day. Well, he loves me, she loves me. Love is love. No. I'm not even going to give a heed to that one. Love is of God. And if a man knoweth not God, he knoweth not love. I've said it time and time again. I could not properly love my wife or children without God. I could not properly love the church without God. I mean, you think about that. You can't properly love what you do without God. And I love what I do. I'm not talking about the other position. I love being a firefighter, don't get me wrong. But I love going to church. I love preaching. I love testifying. I love good gospel singing. But if God's not in it, it's not real. And I want that real love, don't you? We see here, real quick, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I heard a story one time about a Christian missionary. He got thrown in prison. And he looked up and he saw this window, and the window was in the shape of a cross. And he wrote this very verse here. He wrote Romans 8, 38 and 39. But he emphasized on 39 because he He looked at the height of that window that was in the shape of a cross. And he put love on the top. He looked at the depth as he pushed his way. And there were bars, but he put love inside of that cross. Then he looked at the width of it. And it came to remembrance of the greatest love that was ever shown. And he simply wrote love on either side. If we ever want to know what true, real love is, all we have to do is go back to the cross. You may say, well, that's not some deep theological, I can't even say the word, message right there. But it's as deep as you need to get. It's the most real, precious, true love you'll ever get. But not only do we see a sure promise and a sure foundation and this sure love, but I want you to look real quick at Hebrews 6:19. Actually, turn with me to Hebrews 6:19. You go ahead and turn with me, and I have it written down, but I'm going to go ahead and turn there myself. Hebrews 6:19. Because this is the thing that holds it together. Hebrews 6:19. Which hope? I love that word. I love that word, hope. And we know real hope. But which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But I want you to look at that word anchor. There's a wonderful family at our church, Brother Oweda and Sister Mary Hurt. Love them to death. And they sing this song, "My Anchor Still Holds Today." Now, I'm not one for nautical travel. I love getting on the boat and going fishing. I do. But if I'm on, Christy wants to go on one of those cruises. And Brother Andrew Phipps does that gospel cruise, that Singing at Sea. And I keep telling him, I won't be able to make it. And they're like, well, it's like you won't even feel the waves. And he says, you know, when we drop anchor, it's just like you're on a floating hotel. He said, it's wonderful. And I began to think about that anchor. You know, those anchors begin to rust. And they need service, they need maintenance, and eventually you need to replace them. Because what they do is they begin to crumble. If you go and you look at the Titanic, the anchors, 100 and some years down there, I'm sure they've begun to crumble. But you know, our anchor doesn't need refurbishment. Doesn't need to be greased up every so often or oiled. Doesn't need to be replaced. I mean, you think about the anchor that holds us. You think about that one who, yes, we fail daily, but he still holds on. I mean, when the winds and the waves start to roll, start to rock us back and forth, and Brother Derek, we don't know what's going to happen. Or Brother David, rather. There, I did it again. Brother, I was trying not to do that. But you think about that. You think about the anchor. I mean, we are promised when we buy a boat that the anchor will stop us from moving. But every so often, man-made anchors break. We are We are promised that the anchors, that when we drop anchor, it'll hit the bottom of the lake floor, that shifty foundation, and you know it's got to catch that right rock. Because if it doesn't, you're going to keep going, you're going to keep moving, and pretty soon you're where you don't want to be. But the anchor that holds us today knows exactly where we need to be. Knows exactly what it's doing. Knows exactly where we're going. The most important anchor that you have in your life is Jesus. But we want to set Him down wherever we think it's right. We want to make sure that we put Him where we think He needs to be. You see, the Lord is not my co-pilot. I saw that bumper sticker yesterday. I was at work and I seen that bumper sticker, and it always irritates me because that means He's a second choice. I like what Dr. B.R. Lakin said one time. He said, God doesn't play second fiddle. He's always first chair. He's number one. He's number one in our homes. He's number one in our marriages. He's number one at work. He's number one at school. He doesn't take the back seat. So when I look at this real quick and it says to endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord, what I see is this. I see that we have a commander who knows what's best for us. We have a general who does not just send us out into the battlefield, but goes first. We have a leader who truly leads. When I think about the sureties from serving the Savior, what I see is this, is that everything He shows me and tells me to do, He knows that it's going to work. He knows that the plan is not going to fail. We have so many things to be thankful for. But the promises that He's given us, the foundation that He has set us upon, the love that He has given us, and the anchor that holds us steadfastly, all says this, is that Jesus Christ is that blessed assurance that we have from serving the Savior. Brother David, I'm done, bud.